welcome all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 167. I am joined this week by Sam.
Well, I was going to sing a DMX lyric there, but I forgot it, so hi.
Well, you're from Texas, and as Justin informed us, you must sing country music because
that's not going to happen.
We have Dan.
Hello.
And we have the racist on hand, Justin.
What you really want? Hoo, hoo. There we go.
Okay.
You can't see it right now, but I'm flipping all of you off.
Yep.
Of course you are. You have anger issues, that angry black man. Why are they?
I'm not angry. Well.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's a big thought.
Define angry.
Not happy?
I would start with the word Justin.
Anyhow, this is off to a great start.
I may have kind of went overboard and maybe kind of sorta told someone I would break their leg.
So how did that happen? Like,
sorry, guys.
Whoa, avalanche.
Anyhow, this week we aren't talking about Justin's anger issues.
We're actually not talking about Justin at all.
We might want to get into his anger issues, though. We are talking about conventions, all the great cons, partially because Dan went to PAX East this weekend.
Yeah.
So tell us about your experience at PAX.
Okay, so I've been going to PAX since they started going to Boston, so basically since the inception of PAX East I've been going, which is cool because I'm on the East Coast and obviously we don't get very many conventions of the scale of, like, what PAX was before, or Comic-Con even, especially. I mean, New York Comic-Con is something, but not quite San Diego Comic-Con. But anyway, so this is like my fourth or fifth year there, and it was fun. I would actually call this probably the weakest PAX that I've been to so far, but it was still not a bad one. It just wasn't catered to something I was a huge fan of.
That was kind of my decision in not going, like the cost of going for me versus the amount of companies that weren't showing up.
Yeah,
how many didn't show up? I only know of like two who didn't.
Well, none of the big three showed up. Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo didn't show up.
Microsoft
oh, really?
Was there actually, but they were.
I thought Sony was there.
No,
Sony was like not technically a Sony. Like they had smaller first or second party devs there as like a really tiny booth, but nothing like what they've previously have.
Yeah, I think Ubisoft wasn't there.
No,
they showed off.
No, Ubisoft was there.
That wasn't playable, right?
Right. It was playable
it was
for
not,
a while,
as far as I'm aware.
And I think EA wasn't there.
Again, EA was not there. The biggest one that was there was 2K, and 2K is always kind of big, but they were the biggest this year. I mean, Microsoft was kind of big, but I don't own an Xbox One. I don't plan on it. So they didn't really appeal to me that much. They showed off like Kinect games and stuff, especially. So it was kind of not. I don't know. They weren't definitely not the biggest player there or even close to it. I didn't even realize Square Enix was there until the end of the day Sunday, so that's how prevalent they were. 2K was the biggest. They had Murdered, that new game. I forget what it's even called. Murdered.
Soul Suspect?
Yeah. And then they had some Hitman iPad game.
Did you get to play anything up at the 2K booth?
I did not.
Was there anything playable, actually?
There was a lot of playable stuff. I did not get to play what 2K had, and all 2K had was Evolve, which was the biggest line of the convention. I went to go there, and every time I went there, the line was capped. So I did not get to play that. And then Borderlands, the pre-sequel, was just a private showing on an inside, like a sectioned-off area.
More of a screen thing? Was it even playable?
No, it was just a gameplay video.
So did you get to play anything?
I did play a bunch of stuff. Let's see. First thing I did was I played the new Orcs Must Die game, Orcs Must Die Unleashed.
How
was
that?
Cool.
That's the MOBA, right?
Yeah, it was pretty
of
cool.
Of all the
and
games
actually,
at PAX, that's like the one I'm most looking forward to. I have... anyway, keep going. I'm going to look up how much time I've spent on Orcs Must Die 2.
The big thing with this year's PAX was it was like MOBA everything, basically. There were six or seven different MOBAs there this year. And I don't play very many MOBAs. I play Awesome Knots and Super Monday Night Combat, which are non-conventional MOBAs, so that was not
my crowd.
You play
Super Monday Night Combat? Oh my god, awesome. You're the third person I know that's ever played that game.
I play it too.
I love it.
Yeah. That was a fantastic game.
No, like, you can't really play it anymore, but...
Right. God, yep. Does anyone still play it?
You can play Turbocross. Uber Entertainment was actually there, so I talked to them not very long, but they showed off Toy Rush. They had Planetary Annihilation stuff there, and nothing about Super Monday Night Combat except for shirts. So that was a little disappointing.
Are any of those new games?
Toy Rush is not out yet. Planetary Annihilation was a Kickstarter game from last year that's
currently
in
beta. Yeah, I remember seeing it. I feel like I get a press release email about that every day.
I have it. If you ever want like an opinion on it, I can like show you some stuff or something. I don't know. But let's see. I played Orcs Must Die Unleashed or Unchained or whatever it's called. I played the new Magicka game, which was kind of cool. I actually had a lot of fun with that. I shouldn't say it's kind of cool. It was pretty fun. Played Transistor, which was awesome.
Is that the game from the Bastion guys?
Yeah.
The Talking Sword, right?
Yep. And the release date for that was just announced the day before I played it, which was really cool.
Yeah, wasn't May 20th, right?
Yep. May 20th. I played a bunch of things at Double Fine and Cappy's booth. Cappy has this new game called Below, which I played, which was really, really cool. I tried out Guns of Icarus's PvE mode, which I don't even play Guns of Icarus, so that was kind of interesting, I guess.
Are you going to play it now?
Probably not. I didn't not have fun. I wouldn't pay for it and play it very often, though. What else? I hung around a lot of the indie booths a lot. So, like, I was at Flambeer's booth, and I played a lot of Nuclear Throne, even though I have it. A little bit of luck, kind of weird.
Yeah. Wasteful, I'd argue.
I mean, there was, like, a lot of... This year, there were a lot of lines, basically, like, lines everywhere. And there weren't that many games that I wanted to play. Like, by the end of the first day, I was like, okay, I've exhausted just about everything I want to look at and, like, really want to see... except for, Evolve. So, I mean, I kind of just tried to find things that I was moderately interested in. So I hung around the Vlambeer booth because Rami was there, one half of Vlambeer, and I talked with him for a while. He did a keynote at our school a few months ago, so I talked to him a little bit about that and about games and stuff. So that was pretty cool. I saw a lot of, like, gaming famous people wandering around more this year than previous years, which was pretty cool.
Because of the smaller show, more intimate.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
Did you go, like, as a student or as, like, quote-unquote, a member of, like, Games Press or whatever you want to call it?
I had... The passes that I was using were all one-day passes. I had a Friday, Saturday, Monday, so I was going as just a general public sort of thing.
Okay.
But I was going for my personal reasons, not related to school or anything. Although, when I talked to some people, I would talk to them about dev questions.
Okay.
Did you check out any panels?
Yeah.
The only panel I went to was the Mega 64 one, because I am a huge Mega 64 fan, and I go there every year. So that was a lot of fun.
I've always found panels to be the most interesting thing at conventions for me, personally.
Yeah, I actually don't go to a lot of them. I go for more for the show floor, but there was an extra credits panel I wanted to go to, but I was in the middle of a line when it happened. There weren't that many good panels that like interested me. Like all Sunday when I was free basically all day, I looked at some panels and I was like, none of this really applies to me. So I guess I think I just missed the panels this year, like the good ones that were interesting.
You didn't go to the video game industry wrestling one?
No.
The what?
There was like a panel with a bunch of video game personalities playing an old wrestling game from the N64. It's people who make Giant Bomb, Double Fine, Harmonix, all types of game in Fresh. It was pretty awesome.
And that was another
Navarro
thing.
Navarro won, and he's my favorite writer, so that's kind of cool.
Who?
Alex Navarro from
Giant Bomb, yeah.
That is...
Tested and such. Anyway.
Yeah, to be fair, he was also the only one who actually knew how to play the game.
Yeah. I've been to one panel in all the conventions that I've been to, ever. They've never... I don't like sitting... It starts to feel like school at a certain point. You're sitting in a giant room listening to someone talk, and I didn't get away from school to go do that. So I can't... And if I really want to see a panel, I can go on Twitch later and watch them, because they're all archived.
I mean, they're essentially like GDC talks or TED talks or whatever. I find them very interesting. I went to MIGS in November, which is another convention, but it's like a more of a dev convention. And I saw as many panels as I could there, basically, because that was the big draw of it. It was either that or networking. So I networked a bit when there were panels I didn't want to see, and then when there were, I was always inside of them, and that was a lot of fun. I find panels pretty interesting if you can find the right one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't, I mean, I guess it's the same thing with the school analogy. It's like, if it's a class you're interested in, you really don't feel it that bad going to it.
Yeah.
If it's something that doesn't interest you, you know, you probably won't be intrigued by it. But I usually make it a point to go to about 5 or 6 panels for any convention I go to.
Oh, really?
I mostly go to New York Comic Con, so a lot of this stuff is, I usually try to go to any, like, the animation ones with DC and Marvel, like, what's new in comic books, sometimes, like, making a game. I think I've been to, like, you know, Capcom's hosted some.
Have you ever gone into, was it Hall H, the big one at Comic Con?
Well, I've never been to San Diego.
Oh, is that only San Diego?
We have something like that in New York. It's the IGN Theater, which is what they're called. And that one is a very special one. It's the same thing as Hall H. Like, 2 years ago when they were premiering The Avengers, I stayed in that room for 8 hours.
Jeez.
Wow.
Because, they don't kick you out in between panels. So people get there early. And there was a couple of other ones I wanted to see because it was the same. They had an Arkham City panel, they had a net panel, and there was like, you know, 3 or 4 panels I wanted to see throughout the day, so instead of going in and out and probably missing them, I just figured I'll try to get the first one, and then stay throughout the day. They've improved that. There wasn't anything like that last year, because I didn't want to go to any of those, but they've improved it now, where they actually let you go to the bathroom now, too, so that's awesome.
It's actually really convenient for panels, especially. It's a little different when you're on the show floor and you're like in the middle of stuff and there's no bathrooms nearby or anything, but panels are usually off to the side in their own sort of areas, so
it's a little bit done easier. Well, it can
yeah.
Still, especially, I don't know how PAX is set up, but I assume most of you mentioned, like, the panels are kind of done in their own little thing, but because they're all together, like, the lines all kind of converge together.
Right.
So it's more organized, but it's still massive bodies that are trying to figure out where they need to go.
Yeah, it's kind of like what MIGS at the convention center in Montreal here is like. They're all down one hallway, so you've got like 6 rooms on either side of this hallway, and getting to and from the panels as they're opening and closing is just the worst. In PAX at the Boston Convention Center, it's a little bit better because you've got like a bunch of them scattered around both sides, and the show floor is in the center of it, which to me just makes the most sense. So you've got like a lot of breathing room.
Yeah. And I think we can all kind of speak to this. I think crowding and movement is the biggest problem with any convention.
Yeah.
Especially if, I guess Paxton probably wouldn't have this problem this year, but especially if there's a bunch of popular booths together.
Mm-hmm.
I know 1 year I went to Comic-Con, and it was Nintendo and Ubisoft, and I think this was the year that they did Assassin's Creed 3.
Uh-huh.
So it was like Assassin's Creed, it was like Skyward Sword, it was a bunch of games, and they were right next to each other.
Oh, God. The worst at PAX consistently, and this is true for this year as well, was anytime there's a store booth, because there are obviously people paying for things, and then obviously people browsing as well, there's consistently people in front of it who are either doing the transaction or looking, and then there's usually a row of people behind them, too, who are probably looking and or waiting in line. And then behind them is the people who are trying to get through the aisle because the aisle is meant for walking through it. So it's the worst when you've got all the shops in one area, which is a good and bad thing. It's a good thing when you have all the shops in one area because then you can just be like, all the crowding stays over here, and anyone who wants to buy stuff, just go over there.
Yeah, you quickly learn how to shove your way through crowds.
Yeah.
Like, I you may have mentioned this, I was sort of dozing off, but it is like living Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. But, like, there's also something to be said for spreading your stores around the convention center, too, because that was what this year did, and it felt a lot nicer because there weren't entire, like, quadrants of the convention center that were just, you can't go there unless you want to just push people.
The problem I find with that, I mean, if you're hosting a booth, is that you might end up in a section that people don't visit or frequent because there's no other reason to go there.
That's true, too.
Because, I guess, yeah, because usually Comic-Con's not 4 days. I can only do 3 days of a convention, and I like the last day I was just walking around, and I just walked around, and there was like a lot of stuff I've never seen before, because it's like the extreme wings that I would never go to because it doesn't have anything that interests me.
Yeah.
So yeah, as a if you're a booth person, you probably want to be in the action.
True.
Though your movement reminds me of my other pet peeve, and I understand why, but I hate when people stop in the middle of an aisle to take a picture.
Yeah. It's the worst when you like got a real good, and this is, applies really for any sort of transportation or like public area. When you've got a really good rhythm going and you're walking, and then the person right in front of you just stops because they don't realize that people outside of their sphere are doing things independent of them, and it's the worst.
Yes, yes, it is. That is, especially, and if people do this, and it drives me up the walls too. Especially if they do it in between where like the paths all cross over.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're right in the middle of this, so people have to walk around you, and then you have people going every which direction trying to get around you because you want to take this picture. And then you can't take the picture because people are trying to get around you, so you don't have
yep.
a good shot.
And then there's, like, the people who are taking pictures, and so obviously if you're not one of the people taking pictures, you're like, okay, let me give them some space, I won't walk through their shots and be that guy. But then there are some situations where it's just inevitable. They're either setting up the shot, or you know that the person's not ready, and you're just like, I'm going for it, I have to do this, there's no other way around it. It's a double-edged sword, you can't win.
Yeah, yeah. They should have, like, a cosplay area where you can go and just kind of hang out and take pictures of those people outside.
Yeah, but I don't think people would go there because the draw of cosplays is to just show off all this awesome hard work you've done.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, there has been some amazing ones. Last year there was an amazing Hector and Gus from Breaking Bad. They gave out Brew Meth. It was hard candy.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. The comic books are always a big one. I always feel bad for those people, though, because like, they wear these huge amount of armor and stuff, and I can't imagine that's nice. I guess it wasn't so bad, because actually it was pretty nice this weekend in Boston.
Mm-hmm. It was like shorts weather all week.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people who have like one of those full-body costumes or like a multi-layered costume, I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, some of them aren't so bad. Actually, most conventions are during warmer months. Like, nobody wants to do anything. I wouldn't say nobody wants to do anything during the winter, and then PAX announced PAX South, which is in January.
But
in San Antonio, of all places.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in San Antonio.
Which will be, like, 60 degrees.
I spent
last Christmas in San Antonio, and it was warm on Christmas Day. So it doesn't ever get that bad. Which is, I think San Antonio, speaking of, I guess we're talking about conventions, it's an interesting place to put a convention because it's the least, like, hippie, hipstery, techie place that they've ever put a video game convention, to my knowledge. It's very, like, go on.
I was going to say, it sounds like Austin would have been the better pick.
See, but there's already enough cities like Austin. I think it's interesting that they chose San Antonio because it's, like, getting people to go out of what they would consider to be their element. And RTX is already in Austin and going to be a month apart.
Yeah, but that...
So having
no
two,
yeah.
RTX is until July though.
Isn't PAX South in August?
No, it's in.
No, I thought it was in January.
It's in January.
No, it's PAX Prime.
Oh, it's in June. January. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. I also heard and I could that San Antonio actually has a bigger
venue.
Convention center. It's a bigger city. It's a much bigger city.
That doesn't necessarily mean you have a bigger convention center. The one in New York's actually pretty tiny.
Yeah, but it's bigger, meaning like the infrastructure can hold more people.
Yeah.
Right, but the
all
convention
itself Austin is much smaller than people think it is, which is kind of funny. Like it, you know, Austin, Texas. It sounds big, but it's one of the smallest big cities in Texas.
One of the smallest big cities in Texas.
Well, we've got Dallas, Houston.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, not many people have multiple big cities, and like it's one.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's interesting, especially being that area doesn't get it. I mean, yeah, you don't get it out of conventions down that way. Like,
you don't get many conventions in real Texas. Austin is not real Texas, all things considered.
That's what I always hear.
It's true. Austin is very different from the entire rest of Texas, so it's just... There'll be a southern homeliness that you don't get other places, I guess. And less homeless people, as I pointed out on Twitter.
That's homeless people. That's why he picked it. They don't want you dealing with the homeless folks.
Which is interesting because we have a lot of homeless people in the Northeast, and you'd think that it would be better living conditions where it's constantly warm.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just figured there's kind of people here, or they all came to the city to make it big and got stuck.
I think it's a variety of reasons.
Go to Austin. I don't know why homeless people all live in the most expensive areas to live in America. But
because that's why they're homeless, like.
I suppose.
They had a huge homeless population as well.
$40 on a Greyhound ticket and go to the nearest city that's not the most expensive. I don't know. It's a weird political conversation that we've steered into now, but...
Well, I also assume that they probably stay in bigger cities because they assume, rightfully so, that it's probably easier to find a job because there's more opportunities there.
I don't know too many homeless people look... I don't know. When I think of homeless people, I don't think of the kind of homeless people that look for jobs. If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone thinks of homeless people who look for jobs.
I do, but I think this is a conversation that's way off track.
Yeah, it's sort of weird. Anyway, I am happy it's in San Antonio. Whether or not I'll be living here, if I'm living here, I will.
You have a lot more conventions opened up.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it depends on where I work and where they send me, so maybe. I don't know.
That does remind me. We actually haven't heard your convention stories. I know you've been, but I don't know where.
Let's see. I've been to a convention called Anime Matsuri in Houston twice, which is, you know, take any city that has local conventions. It's a fairly big convention for anime, but I'm not the biggest anime fan. So it was interesting. It had some gaming stuff there, too, and sci-fi stuff. Like, it was kind of a general convention, but mostly anime. And it went with my friends, so it was not even sort of as press. The other ones I got to go to is press. I went to two PAX Primes and one RTX. RTX was interesting because I was going as a freelancer, and then my friend's like, hey, can I come? And so I sent an email to the PR guy 2 days before the conference started. I was like, hey, so I need a camera guy. Can my friend come? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Just gives him a press pass, too. And for that, my friend paid for the hotel room. So
nice.
Awesome.
Like his dad had extra hotel points or something, so we got a really nice hotel room that was right across the street from the convention center
That's awesome.
For the trouble of getting a pass. Yeah. RTX was interesting. It was really good for – it depends on how much of a Rooster Teeth fan you are, first of all. It was all Rooster Teeth stuff and then kind of other local things from all –
Okay. While we are Sam, he did mention a point that I've actually been really curious about recently. There does seem to be a really huge upswing in the number of conventions. Like this weekend, it's WonderCon. Next weekend is C2E2, which is just Chicago one.
See, and I don't even count those as I'm back, by the way. I don't really count those as real conventions, if that makes sense. That falls under the like Anime Matsuri brand of if you live in the area, you go. And the only reason we hear them is because most of our Twitter feed is congregated in these like four cities. So it sounds like a big deal to the people living in those cities who make up most of our Twitter feed, which is, why it seems like the entire world freaks out every time there's one of those missing child things in California. Do you remember that? No? All right, never mind. Where was I? I was in the middle of RTX. Okay, yes. RTX is great if you're a Rooster Teeth fan, like a really hardcore Rooster Teeth fan. If you're a mild Rooster Teeth fan, it's good for a day, maybe a day and a half, at least last year. Maybe next year will be better, but there weren't that many games. They had Lambeer, and they had Assassin's Creed multiplayer, and like a Halo thing. Actually, maybe there wasn't a Halo thing that released, so no, not even a Halo thing.
So it would be better for like someone kind of like me more than it would be for someone like you?
Yes, unless you have a press pass and go to the press parties, in which case you get to hang out with... Yeah, well, I mean, you could probably apply... Yeah, I was about to say, you could apply with Nerds on the Rocks and they'll probably let you in.
But I think they have like a 21 limit on that drinking stuff, and so I can't go and watch 20. So like, I couldn't go and watch... I know.
It'll be 20 next July?
It'll be 21. Yeah, I'm 21 October.
Bummer.
See, my friend was 20, and he has a story. Like, he got some of the parties he got to go to. The first night was the one with, like, all the industry peoples. That's where I initially met the people from Machinima. And he ended up getting drinks from, I think it was Earl Alexander, who is the voice of Lewis in Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he, like, made friends with him, and Earl just kept, like, giving him, because there's an open bar, so Earl would just go grab alcohol for him. And it's very interesting that a video game voice actor was just giving my friend drinks, even though he was 19.
I heard on the Rooster Teeth podcast, like, if anyone underage is, like, caught with alcohol, their ass is booted. So I'd rather kind of not get booted.
I think that just applies in general. It is pretty illegal to serve alcohol to minors.
Yeah, that applies.
So.
Well, yeah. Just about
so, I mean, I kind of don't want that to be my first time at a convention where, like, I get booted for underage drinking.
Go big or go home.
Nah.
Yep.
Nah. And then for definitions that go big.
I spent night 3 of RTX watching it. Have I ever told the story? Watching the UFC fight with Earl. Yeah, I think I've told it with Jen Taylor and Earl Alexander, who are the voice of Cortana. And I've mentioned that before. That was pretty cool. The after parties and stuff are fun. There's alcohol on the show floor, which is interesting. Like, there's a bar on the show floor that you can go to, and it's the only one like that I've seen. That's RTX. PAX Prime, it's great. I love PAX Prime. I've only been to a handful of conventions, but I don't imagine that it gets much better than that.
As far as gaming goes, I can't imagine that anything. I would imagine E3 is the big one, but
E3 is not a consumer show, though.
It's still a show.
It's a show, but it's not like consumers are regularly going there.
That's what I was going to say with PAX, because PAX is open to the public, and it is the big one.
So, like, PAX Prime is probably going to be the biggest, because it's right after E3, so you've got all the E3 announced stuff. That's the problem with PAX East, is some of the stuff that's announced at E3 has already come out a few months before, so it's like you've lost a little staying power.
But PAX Prime is like the stuff got announced at E3, and then you get to all have it playable at PAX. Everything at E3 available to the public, at least. Yeah, and there's a lot more going on. And though I can't really, I feel like a convention would be a little annoying as a person without press access, if that makes sense. As douchebaggy as that sounds, but seeing all of the lines that go on and all of the waiting, like, I've been in this line 4 hours to play Assassin's Creed, or 3.5 hours to watch this Infamous video. I'm like,
It depends on a lot of things. If you're dedicated to a game and you want to wait 4 hours for just a video, not even gameplay, you'll do that. If you're not, you just won't go in that line. I mean,
I feel like that's part of the experience with most things. It's the same thing when people wait online for midnight showings and stuff. It's part of getting to know your neighbors and, you know, wasting time on the line.
The cost to go to PAX to do all of that does not seem like it's worth it if you don't live in the area.
That's true.
That's a point as well. But I live just outside of Boston, so I don't have to rent a ticket. I didn't have to pay for parking because my dad drove me in and picked me up every day. So it was just the cost of the ticket for me.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I spent like $800 to go to PAX Prime.
Obviously it's a little different if you're coming from anywhere outside of the immediate area.
$800 is including, I guess, food and airplane. It's including everything. Hotel, which is not cheap.
That's not bad at all.
It's not awful, but it's a lot of money to go. So that's what I mean, is if you have to buy the pass as well, and then...
Right.
And then there's some people that go, that don't go out at night, that just say, I'm just going to sit in my room and play video games at night. I'm like, you are wasting the best part of the convention. What are you doing?
That's what I feel about the people who go to PAX and sit there all day in the handheld lounge. Because you're like, that's not the draw of it. I mean, I've been to the handheld lounge a few times. I hung out there for like an hour this year because I had my 3DS. My friend just got a 3DS, so he was like, he wanted to get some street passes. We wanted to regroup to figure out what to do because all the lines were capped. So we went there, and there's just so many people, and all they do is sit there. And it's like, you got this pass to sit there with other people.
My favorite are people who sit on the floor charging their phones.
That too. Or when you go to the outskirts of the show floor, you can see some people on the very edges by where the bathrooms are or where the outlets are, and you'll see them just sitting by the walls charging their phone or something, or playing their 3DS. It's like, there's a handheld lounge for that if you want. They have chargers there even. You can go have actual human interaction if you want.
Yeah, I do my street pass in while I'm waiting online. It's a great time to do it.
Yep.
It's a great time waster. Yeah, and you also, you generally have a good talking point with people online because you're all usually there for the same thing.
Yep.
Because you're all online for the same thing. So yeah, what is it in Fight Club? It's like airport friends, like, you know, those instant friends that you make and kind of diminish really quickly.
Single-serving friends.
Yeah, there we go. That's pretty much what people are online. But it's still nice. You get to meet some of your, you know, get to find people with some of your interests. You get to talk to them. Sometimes way too long, but...
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's an element of the convention. I wore Persona 3 and 4 shirts all weekend, and every day people would come up to me and ask me about, like, oh, you like Persona? That's awesome. Granted, there's tons of people there who are either cosplaying as Persona characters or wearing the same shirts as me or buying them there. But it just feels cool to be approached for that reason. Had a little conversation with the guy about Persona games I talked to. A bunch of the shops that I went to when I was wearing my Juness shirt, I don't know if anyone plays Persona 4, but there's a line in it where every day's great at your Juness, which is one of the stores in it. Every time I would go to a booth, they'd go, how's your day? And I'd say, good. And they'd say, how about great?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I will say I'm kind of opposed to that, and this sounds really, you know, I own a bunch of them, so I shouldn't. I really don't wear any of my nerdy shirts to, I won't wear a comic book shirt to go see a comic book movie, and I won't go wear it to
really?
Yeah, I've always felt it gets way too on the nose.
Wow, freaking judge me then, because I wore my Captain America shirt when I went to go see Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that. I might do it accidentally if I'm out and I'm wearing it and I end up going with friends.
I like that you have enough nerd shirts that you just accidentally wear one to the same movie premiere.
Like the chances of that happening. I'm wearing the Ninja Turtle shirt to the movie. What are the odds?
I purposely wouldn't wear a Ninja Turtle shirt to Ninja Turtles premiere. I didn't wear my Captain America shirt to either Captain America shows or anything like that. even though I have enough shirts for that, it's the same thing. Like if I go to Nintendo World Store for a launch, I won't wear a Nintendo shirt. I mean, especially depending on the weather. Most of the time, I'm either in a polo or I'm in a launch seat button up. There's just something about being presentable.
Nah.
But yeah, it's one of those things. Like, it's kind of nifty, but. I also hate when people say, oh, fuck, where'd you get it? The only time I really do that is I do free comic book day, and I'll usually wear a comic book shirt for that.
So that they can know to give you your free comic book.
Well, they know to give me my free comic book, because I'm up at 9 in the morning on Saturday. But, I guess speaking of freebies, what about any type of swag that you've gotten?
Oh, that was part of why PAX this year was so bad, was we didn't get very much swag at all. Every year PAX gives out this little goodie bag from the convention itself, from PAX, Penny Arcade. This year, the best thing in that bag was actually oatmeal.
Seriously?
Yes. It's hard to compare some years when 2 years ago they gave us the game Rift, the whole game for free before it went free to play. They just gave it to us. That was awesome.
The MMO thing, right?
Yep. So they gave us the base game of Rift before it went free-to-play for free, so that was cool. And then the same year, they had Xbox Live one-year subscriptions, and there was nobody monitoring the line at certain points, so you could just grab a ton.
Wow.
So it's hard to compare with a year like that. But, like, last year they had Cards Against Humanity packs, and they had that this year, but they weren't in the goodie bags. I only got, actually, like, two or three freebie shirts, and I had to pre-order games for them. So it was a pretty bad year for free swag this year. Previous years have been a lot better. And actually, a lot of my shirts I just get from PAX and stuff. I don't really care what I'm wearing because I'm not in a situation where I have to wear, like, polos or button-ups or classy shirts all the time. So I just...
You're a college student. It makes sense.
Exactly. My entire wardrobe is just PAX shirts and stuff that I buy.
I wore all my classiest stuff to the PAX parties, though. I wore my boots. Every night, I wore my cowboy boots. because they make me about 4 inches taller.
So he's almost 5 feet at that point.
Yeah, basically. No, that's not an oh. That is closer to true than you believe. I'm 5'7" on a good day. My shoe size is a 7.5. We had to custom order boots in a kid's size and get them stretched out to fit my feet.
See, that would do the opposite for me. I'm 6'3", and if I wore boots that big, I would just stand out even more.
Yeah.
You get like 2 days apart. You're like, who's the tall guy? What is that?
Yeah,
I also think, getting back on subject, I think part of it is just that, like you said, there's a lot of companies who weren't there this year, so I imagine there probably wasn't as much money. I'm kind of curious to see, because I've seen a lot of PR people, and I assume a lot of game developers all the same way, about having to do more conventions, because they have E3, they have PAX, they have San Diego, they have PAX East, they have the VGAs, they have Eurogamer, they have Gamescom, they have the Tokyo Game Show. Now you're adding PAX South, PAX Australia.
And that's part of why Nintendo backed out of PAX East this year, is because they have their directs. They practically don't even go to E3 anymore, honestly. Like, it was pretty obvious they weren't going to go to PAX East, even though it was a little disappointing. I was looking forward to a few of their games being there this year. But
hey, I will be perfectly honest with you. If Nintendo does what they did last year, I'm all for it, because I get the big press conference, but the fact that they allowed me to go play their games wherever I was awesome.
Yeah.
And I got to play all their E3 games at Nintendo World Store multiple times, so that's much easier than watching a press conference.
Yeah, and it's a lot more personable. They have their directs so that they can talk directly to the consumers rather than pander to the investors at E3, because that's all it is. Stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's a lot of, there's a lot of, and those are just the big ones. Like, there's a lot of tiny ones. There's, what is it? Screw Attack does a convention.
Mm-hmm.
RTX does one. There's a bunch of different Comic Cons which people go. See, like, Nintendo's at one of the cons this weekend, which a lot of people find weird.
Mm-hmm.
They went to, like, the Midwest Retro Game Convention, like, weeks ago. So there's a lot of game conventions, and really, like, at this point, games kind of exist for E3, and they kind of exist near the end of the year. Like, it doesn't make sense to continuously do new demos.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the same demo for, like, the first 6 months, second demo, that month.
Yeah.
Or so, but yeah, like people say, oh, you just have to put the game there, but you have to create a booth, you have to get staff, or you have to get staff who know the game. Because there's nothing worse than going to a trade show and having to play a game that nobody knows how to play.
Yeah, or the people who run the booth have no idea what they're talking about, and you can, in some booths you can tell, because you're like, you're clearly just here to basically recite lines that people told you about this game and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I mean, you understand to a point, obviously, if you're reasonable.
I mean, I don't hold it against them, but it's always kind of funny, like, especially if you have any questions, and it's like, we can't answer that. I actually don't know that. Go on our website and check it out. Like, I remember one year I tried out Bloodstone, and I was a huge fan of Everything or Nothing, and I was asking about that, because it does seem to draw a lot of inspiration from that, and they had no idea what that was.
Huh.
And I was just like, oh, okay. That's not fun.
Yeah, seriously. And, like, that just kind of goes with almost being like a retail employee. If you don't know something, you refer them to something that would tell them the answer, or you find the answer yourself. I don't know. It's a little different at a convention, but as a retail employee myself right now, while I'm not at school at least, I mean, it just, I don't know. You understand to a point what they're going through, and you don't, like, why be that person.
Yeah, especially, and in some cases I do understand, especially, like, some of them man a booth and not necessarily a game.
Right.
So there might be more than one game at that booth, and you are supposed to know at least the basics for all of them. And then sometimes things happen. There's one of the reasons why everybody's always like, why don't you just put your E3 beta demos on the your download stores? And it's because a lot of these things aren't really running that great. And if they crash or they have bugs, people are gonna call them out for that. Well, on the trade show, it happened, it sucks for the guy paying it, but, somebody can come over, they can reset the system and all this other stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that goes wrong with demos and betas and stuff like that.
Yep.
I guess kind of getting back to freebies, like you said, I have way too many t-shirts over the years, they have really cut back on it, because Sega used to be a really big shirt giver. And they don't reproduce as many games as they used to. Like, I have an Anarchy Reign shirt. I have a Mad World shirt. I have a Sonic... I want to say Sonic Unleashed shirt.
Why?
I have a Conduit shirt. Because they're free! Like, you walk by sometimes and people just hand you stuff.
Yeah, why not? I take all this free stuff I can get. I didn't even, like, Spec Ops The Line was at PAX a few years ago. Didn't even know what it was until it, like, blew up and became super viral and mainstream and everything. Got the shirt anyway, because why not?
Yeah.
Free shirt.
One of my Twitter followers went to New York Comic Con with together 1 year, and he has a system which he's very terrible. I don't know if he's improved at it, but he would like sign up for pre-orders because you get a lot of free stuff for pre-orders, and then you go home and cancel it.
Yep.
Because they have you pre-order on Amazon or GameStop.
You can actually do that as soon as you're in the line. That's what I did this year. Pre-ordered on Amazon. Then they have you bring up your phone to see the receipt, and then when you're up on their phone looking at the receipt, you go through the link and cancel it. As soon as you get your free stuff. I mean, like, that was my thing this year with Evolve and Borderlands. The thing wasn't working for Borderlands, so I had to pre-order it on 360, and I'm not going to play it on 360. So I pre-ordered it for the shirt, canceled it, and said, yeah, I'll get it. I'm not going to pre-order it, but I'll still get it for PC when it's out.
Yeah, I've done that. I've pre-ordered Assassin's Creed almost every year I go, because Ubisoft usually gives you something decent. I have an Assassin's Creed, I think it's 4 shirt, and then I have an Assassin's Creed, I think, Black Flag mug from last year. I think I have a Rayman stuff as well. But the thing is, and I have way too many Nintendo headpieces. I have 3 cat ears from Mario 3D World. I have 2 Pokemon starter caps from last year, an Okami one. I have a Dragon Ball Z hair. Like, it's kind of cool in the moment, and you get home and like, what the hell do I do with this?
Yeah, I have a Magicka hood that they gave out at the Magicka booth. I'm never going to use it again. Ever.
Oh, the worst of posters, because I've just started throwing them away because my dog has gotten into them now.
Yeah.
But I have all these amazing posters. I don't put posters on my wall, and even if I did, I would have put most of these on there. Like, the only one I cherish is I have one signed from Bruce Timm when they did Batman, The Dark Knight Return.
That's pretty cool. Yes, in general, I hate posters. Getting posters for things, people like, you should be all excited. 90% of the time, I hand the poster back to the person that gave it to me, and they just stare at me really confused, like, what's wrong with you? You don't want a cool poster? Like, no, there's this giant Ford ad all along the side, and there's, like, 900 marketing words, and, yeah.
So, like, I think that t-shirts, honestly, I don't understand why more booths don't do t-shirts, because they're the best form of free marketing. You go to a booth, you play their game, and then you basically go, that was awesome. They say, cool, have this shirt that has our game name and company all plastered over it. You feel awesome because you want a shirt representing a game that you like. They're like, wow, free advertising. All it cost us was the shirt.
Yeah,
I don't understand why more
free
companies do it.
I assume it's partially because it does cost more than a poster.
It's true, but I mean, it's free advertising. It's
also because posters are one size fits all. With t-shirts, you know, you need to have a small, medium, large, extra large.
That's a fair
sometimes
point.
Double XL. So, like, how much inventory do you bring? Like, a lot of times they do. The first stage is usually the best day to kind of go around because they do have enough. Then it kind of gets to the point where, like, they ran out of this size, they ran out of that, they don't have this, come back tomorrow.
Yep.
And stuff like that. That reminds me, last year I got a bag, a huge bag, which is fantastic because Sam's point about posters reminded me. I hate when people give me posters because you usually don't have anything to carry a poster in.
That too, yeah.
They don't give you bags, so you like, don't bring your own
bag. They usually just give you a poster. Like, they don't even roll it up for you. Like, you get a poster.
Yeah.
And that's it. So they don't give you something to roll it up in. They don't give you a rubber band. They don't give you a bag to put it in. They just give you, like, this piece of paper. And usually, especially if you get it near the start of the day, it's like you have to walk around with it all day. If you roll it up, it's gonna be rolled, and it's just a pain in the ass to put on the wall at that point if it stays rolled all day. Usually I don't keep them. I have some that I thought were cool. Like, I have a old school Mega Man one from Capcom. I got a couple of Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate ones, which are kind of neat. But it's just like, a lot of times people just kind of give them to you, especially the really cheap paper ones that do nothing. They kind of tear up in a bag anyhow.
Yep. Like this year, at least Blizzard had a really good quality one, so it held up even at the bottom of my bag when I bought a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. The first year I went, I got a poster hold, and I was so excited. No other year they gave it to us. I was really disappointed.
Wish they'd do that for us. I mean, it's sometimes good depending on the backpack you have. Like, my backpack has side pouches that I can just throw them in or something, but this year I wore a different backpack, and it was hard to... Granted, I only got, like, 2 or 3 posters, so that was okay. And actually, the one poster I did get from The Evil Within had a really sturdy poster holder, so that was pretty nice.
No, that reminds me of something else that I always find weird. are people who bring stuff to get signed. And I don't mean, like, one or two things. Like, the people who bring, like, these really carriage things full of, like, comic books and games to get signed. I'm like, I don't want to walk around a convention center with all this crap all day long.
That's very true. So, my first year that I went to PAX, I'm a really big fan of the Behemoth and Castle Crashers and all their games, really. I don't know if anyone here actually knows this, because I don't really talk about it anymore, because it's not relevant, but my Alienware laptop, which is one of the, you know, really big, really heavy, really clunky ones, I brought that to PAX the first year, because I went to the Behemoth booth, and Dan Paladin and Tom Fulp were there. That's the artist of the Behemoth, and then Tom Fulp is the co-creator of the Behemoth and co-creator of Newgrounds, and they both signed my laptop, and so now I have this really cool signed laptop cover. I can put it on Twitter if anyone wants to see it really badly, but... that was, like, the worst thing that I've brought to a convention, was this really heavy computer that I had to carry around all day, and my arms hurt all day. And I asked them, like, what's the coolest thing you've had signed? And they're like, well, this is probably the most expensive thing. But I agree. It's kind of weird to bring stuff, just have them sign. Like, usually what I do is I'll buy stuff there. Like, I met Tim Schafer this year, and I bought something at the booth to have him sign, because I didn't have anything with me, and I wasn't prepared for Tim Schafer to sign things, so what should I do? Or previous years at the Behemoth, when I didn't bring my laptop, I would buy a Castle Crashers figure, and they'd sign the case for it, and that was pretty cool. Stuff like that.
Sign your chest.
Well, that wears off.
I was about to say, if you've seen his picture, it looks like he doesn't want to be anywhere near Tim Schafer. So.
It's a fairly awkward picture of me and Tim Schafer, but he was a pretty awkward guy at the time.
Well, you did give him a "that's what she said" joke. I can imagine why he would be awkward at that point.
It was a really funny meeting.
I guess that was going to be my next question. Is like, you know, Sam shared some of it. Like, who else have you seen at these shows? Like, anybody? Or, you know, I talked to. I guess you can see anybody at these shows. But.
Right. This year was the biggest one for me to meet people and see people that are, like, famous. And it's kind of interesting, because this year is also the closest I've been to the famous people, because I'm basically practically in the industry now, being, like, a student in my third year.
There's also, I'm just going to point this out, we're now at the point of the conversation where it's like, oh, guess what, like, I've done it, this is what I did last week, but it gets really weird talking about famous people that you've met. It's like, hey, you know that time I met a famous person? Yeah, that was cool, and that's the whole story to it, and there's nothing more to it than that. But, I mean,
yep,
go on, we're in the middle of it now.
There's just no way to dress it up as anything other than that.
It's true. I mean, I'm not one for name-dropping, and I'm not going to, but it's just cool to list off all the people you've seen there, I guess.
Yeah. Like, the one I would name-drop, and it's not because it's because it was, like, a person just kind of, like, hiding out. I met Rob Paulson last year, which I don't even know if any of you would know.
Like the guy from Fight Club?
Yeah.
No.
That is the guy's name. Rob Paulson is the guy's name from Fight Club.
But no, it's the guy who...
Raphael.
Yeah, he's the voice of Raphael. He does Oyako from Animaniacs. He's a pretty big voice actor.
Yeah.
And and he was just, like, hanging out because there's, like, a staff, a press booth that's upstairs. And you can overlook the chauffeur, which is kind of awesome. He's just kind of – he has his hat on, like, over his head. And he's just playing with his cell phone, trying to hide out from people. That would be awesome.
That is really cool. This year, people I've seen and people – well, I have pictures with only a few people. I saw Tommy Rafines from Team Meat. He's the programmer for Team Meat. That was pretty cool. I talked to him a little bit because I was playing the game that they had at their booth. Edmund McMillan wasn't there, but his wife was there this year, which was kind of interesting. I've seen Dan Paladin and Tom Fulp numerous times, and I talk to them every year about Behemoth and, like, their games and stuff, because I was in the beta last year, so I talked to them a little bit about the beta process and how awesome it was. I talk to Mega 64 every single year, and they're the coolest people in the world every time.
I love you guys. Please marry me.
Yeah, something like that. They're just cool to hang out with because they just kind of just do whatever at their booth, and it's really lax. So it's just if I need some downtime, I just hang it there.
Oh gosh, that's like the whitest thing you've ever said. I just hang it there.
Hang it there. I'm gonna make it a thing now. So get ready for that, guys. What else? I saw. I don't know if you guys know Christine Love, but she made Analog, and Analog: A Hate Story and Hate Plus. She's a visual novel writer.
Never heard of it.
Who else? Tim Schafer, obviously. A lot of the people from Uber Entertainment, the guy who does the voice of G.G. Stack from Superman Internet Combat, he works at Uber Entertainment, and I saw him.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
Those two announcers are the best part of the game, I think.
He was really cool. He's, like, actually an employee there doing stuff beyond voice acting, so he's just there at the convention whenever they are. And then so was Scathis, who's the creator director, and Econaut, who's one of the lead artists. I saw a bunch of people from Montreal who I've met at just being here and going to meetings up here as well, which is kind of interesting. Said hi to them. I saw, if you guys know YouTubers, I guess, I saw Jesse Cox. He just kind of casually went up to us and asked us what line we were waiting for. And then I didn't even realize it was him until later when I checked my street passes and I got Jesse Cox. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
So glad we invited you.
I thought it was funny.
And then I saw Ross and Holly from Game Grumps. That was pretty cool also. John Tron was there as well, but I didn't see him. Continue Show was all there. I saw them a few times and said hi. That was it for this year. What's that?
Was he John gone?
I guess from me he was John gone, yes.
I thought it was funny.
Not that funny, Justin.
We're out of Justin's comedy hour now.
I can talk about my convention experiences.
Yes, okay. What about you, Sam?
Sam, I think, got dropped. Yes.
Yeah,
Sam just got dropped from the call altogether. Oh.
No, I didn't get dropped. His pun was so bad that I left.
Ouch. You're so hurtful.
Hey, you shouldn't have made the bad joke. So yeah, Sam, who have you met?
Me? This is weird to talk about because it's like, oh, I have to admit that. But mostly games journalism people. Like, whenever I get to a party, I pretty much assess, like, who I've heard of and who I'm familiar with the writing. And then I try to, like, devise a strategy to get myself into their group of people and talk to them, as weird as that sounds. So, you know, you, like, make friends with one group, and then that group splits up, and then you find the other one, and then...
That's more of a networking tactic than a meeting cool people sort of thing.
Yes,
like, when I go to PAX every year, because I'm a developer, technically, at this point, I choose PAX as my convention that I go to as purely a consumer. So when I see famous people, it's cool. But in other conventions, I'm, like, super serious networking mode.
Yeah, that I guess that is also part of it. Networking or just people that'd be good to have friends with. So, like, Jim Sterling was really fun to have a conversation with. He's a lot nicer in person than you'd think based on his, his personality is kind of an asshole.
Well, but
he's a pretty nice guy.
That's what I've always gathered.
He's just more like a controversial person.
Yeah, right. Asshole.
I think it's more that he's drunk than anything else. He doesn't usually sugarcoat things.
Is that do I have a different definition of asshole than you guys? Because that's pretty much what blunt kind of means. That like I am an asshole. I know this.
There's a difference between being drunk and being an asshole. When you're being
not really.
It's like the difference between a circle or a square and a rectangle. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not all squares.
Wow.
Like you can be blunt without being a jerk, but you can be a jerk regardless of being blunt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, him I met. Let's see, Max Scoville, who I actually talked to today. Like he's the one I'm kind of friends with of all the people that I've met. Greg Miller and Tim Geddes from IGN. Those are Greg's. Another one who's more fun to talk to in real life than to listen to in video or audio form. If that makes sense.
Is Greg Miller the Nintendo guy from IGN?
No, he's a PlayStation.
He's a PlayStation. He's the guy in love with Doritos.
He's also the guy from IGN. If you said name one IGN person, he's probably the one you're going to name first.
I shouldn't say I don't like, but I just am impartial to IGN, so I only know nobody there.
I don't know a friend and pair. Those were the two that were there when I started reading IGN.
Yeah, okay, yes, but as of right now. He's also, funny story, like, I don't much care to listen to him now, but when I was growing up, he's kind of the reason that I'm in games journalism, so it was cool to meet him. Like, listening to his story about him going to school for journalism and then moving across the country to work for IGN is pretty much exactly what I'm doing. Different country. Yeah, so that was a kind of surreal moment for me.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I met Notch in an airport once. I don't really take pictures of people because I feel like that's not a very professional thing to do when networking, if that makes sense. You don't want to approach somebody with, like, hey, I'm lower than you and you're a celebrity. Can I have a picture with you?
Yeah.
A picture with them. You want to be like, hey, we're out having drinks and watching UFC fights. Let's take a picture.
You don't really want to go like, hey there, can I work for you also? Can I have a picture with you and me?
I also kind of curious if they consider themselves celebrities. Like, I mean, I game and press, but I don't consider a lot of them, like, I wouldn't consider them the same as I would take an actor.
They're not real celebrities, but they are internet celebrities, for what that's worth.
Or
game journalists, celebrities,
so
if that makes
sense.
Because it's a different industry. Like, the industry is different. I've heard people compare the game industry to the movie industry and be like, Steven Spielberg is known for his work and, like, what he does. But then, like, it's a little different from how in the games industry, like, Tim Schafer is known for what he does, but it's really the studio is a little different. Studios are known more than people. So you know of Nintendo, but you might know of, like, Tim Schafer is, like, the one guy that you know from it. You more know of the studios rather than the individuals.
Well, I think that's something. I think we've discussed this. I don't know if we have, the four of us, but I think that's one of the problems with the VGAs is because gaming doesn't tend to put a face to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a ton of celebrities or a lot of people we relate to or want to see.
Didn't mean real celebrities, but the word still works in our little microcosm.
Oh no, no, I get what you're saying. I was just saying, I guess I wouldn't think to take a picture of a
game journalist.
Yeah,
that's also kind of it.
It
and a lot of the times, they're not really celebrities are known for being attractive people. Games journalists generally aren't.
Ouch, calling you out, games journalism.
Not that it matters, but it's a funny thing to think about.
That for some reason that reminds me. I also saw I was at someone here when Ono dressed up as Chun-Li, which is kind of awesome. He is a character.
Who?
Yeah.
Ono, the guy who's the creator behind Street Fighter.
No idea who that is.
Oh.
Wow.
Justin,
I only played Street Fighter once.
Oh my gosh, you know what?
Justin,
Eddie,
you're just out of your element right now.
He's out of his element every week.
We
just keep him around to figure out what he hasn't done so we can make fun of him for it.
We should have a podcast where, like, we just go through, like, you guys just start naming stuff, and I'll just be like, yes, no, no, no,
yeah,
no,
we're supposed
no.
to do it with Sam at some point. We're going to do that with you and Sam, apparently.
Yeah, can we do that next week?
No, next week we have...
I don't even have to be there. You said to record me saying no on a soundboard, and I'll leave.
It'll be the same experience.
And then it's yeah, the people I've met that other people tend to be most interested about on the internet are all the Rooster Teeth guys. That's who is the most quote-unquote famous of the groups of people anyway. I only met them at that one party and then hung out with Joel once at a bar. But other than that, it wasn't too interesting.
That was Joel when he's drunk.
The first time I met him, he was double-fisting whiskey. So, like, two full cups of whiskey. So it was very fitting. He's like, I'd shake your hand, but, points down his hands. Yeah.
Can't sacrifice this.
That just sounds like going off with double fist whiskey. That just sounds like a terrible night.
My mind went to a
He's
really
probably uses drugs or heavily addicted to alcohol, if I had to guess. I know that's the joke about him, but having met him twice in real life, I see where the joke comes from.
he's an odd looking dude, right? He looks like he should be the Joker.
Normal look. Anyways, we've talked
compared to the other people in that company, he looks kind of off.
I think he's the best looking person at that company compared to everybody else.
You are out of your mind.
Apparently,
not counting the females, but like of all the men at that company.
I'm gonna choke you.
Apparently, at some point, we need to do, like, a gaming hot or not episode. I guess, what is your, like, do you folks, what is your next convention that you plan to attend if needed?
Sorry, could you repeat that once?
Like, what is the next convention or trade show you expect to attend Really quickly, I guess, kind of as a somewhat tangent, have you been to any non-entertainment focused trade shows or conventions?
I went to a NASCAR convention once, my friend.
They have a NASCAR convention? They have
my friend's dad was an executive at Shell. If you can imagine,
I think the fact that you got to ask if they have one kind of just
right.
They have a convention.
And I met Mario Andretti, which was kind of cool. They mentioned, to put that in perspective, they mentioned his name in the movie Rush as one of the racers that they race against. And that's all the perspective that most people will have for him. But
yeah, I've heard the name before.
Yeah,
I actually want to go there. They have a book convention coming to New York City this year called BookCon.
That sounds awful.
Oh, really?
It does, but I'm really curious about it. How do you make convention interesting?
You can't even really cosplay for that. I mean, you can, like, book descriptions, but you'll have to really be into the book to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary to I think that's why I'm kind of...
Everybody's just going
to
be really quiet and talk in hushed tones all the time. And I'm sure there are some book people like, what the fuck's a video game convention? Why would anybody go to that? But... I don't know.
Well, maybe. Because I've never heard of a book convention. I'm sure they have them, but I'm really kind of curious to go to this. I guess anime falls into entertainment, but the New York Comic Con, where they also, for some reason, they decided it would be a great idea to have a comic books, video game, and anime convention all in one.
Yeah.
So that was a pain in the ass for a couple of years. I've gone to like work ones, like psychology conventions and stuff like that, but
oh man,
they aren't as
those two.
That sounds really weird. Be like, how do you feel? How do you feel? Yes, yes, you in the back. How do you feel?
It's more like you go there to meet. You know, more. It's one of those things where you kind of go more to attend panels and kind of meet up with people in the field to kind of discuss. You know, any kind of advancements, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not exciting. It, you know, you don't cosplay, even though, I mean, I would assume everybody would come as Freud, or they dress something as Freud.
They dress as, like, their Freudian slip.
I just pictured all of the people from Hannibal getting together and talking about psychology, and
then they eat
each
other.
Interesting to them. And then they eat each other, but...
Oh, I guess this isn't a traditional convention, but I've also gone to, like, the Chicago Food Fest. Which is kind of awesome.
See, that's all right. If you count that, then I've been to the Houston Rodeo multiple years.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing as a convention. It's just outside. Yes.
It's people cosplaying, but it's just as cowboys instead of video game characters. It's the exact opposite crowd you'd find at a gaming convention.
Well,
100% less neckbeards, but 100% more Hispanic people.
Okay, if we were just all making racist comments today, so I think it's a good time as any to kind of begin wrapping this up before we offend anybody else.
That was racist in what I said.
Than white folks.
It's kind of true, though, if you talk about, like, diversity in games industry and diversity in the, they go to conferences even.
Speaking of diversity, how do you guys go to the diversity lounge?
at my PAX, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't at PAX, whichever it was.
I'm last year? No, it was not.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I thought you went this year. My bad. All right,
well,
so,
this year is last year. I didn't go to PAX East. I went to the last PAX Prime, and it was not.
Yeah.
Come on, Justin. Where you been all come to the whole to the podcast?
Yeah,
I'm guessing that's
a
metal
sentence.
Anyhow, yeah, we'll be back next week. I think we have two ideas that I need to discuss with you folks before then, so I won't say what it is. You can find us, as always, or on iTunes and Stitcher. All of this is in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on Google+, YouTube, Facebook, and Nerds on the Rocks. Usually, just Google search Nerds on the Rocks, and we usually come up with everyone's around.
Yeah.
So for Sam, Dan, and for some reason Justin this week.
Wow.
It's true. Don't deny it.
That was 167.
Greetings, fanboys and geek girls. Roll that 18-sided die. We're going to embark on a master quest.
I know a place where the geeks all come together. Wild, just to look at action figures.
Poison Ivy. My, these girls are looking lively.
Wonder Woman, Supergirl, I'm so nervous I could hurl. I like guns, I mean like girl guns. See her, meet her, this is fun.
The girl's a geek, she plays the Wii, and loves Stan Lee.
Anime, I wanna play with Felicia Day. Now let's cosplay
Princess Peach,
the One Ring.
Comic-Con's everything, fanboys hanging out. All that cape hanging out.
Movies and groupies and boobies, no newbies, just Daphne Scooby.
Katie, my lady.
Yeah.
How about an autograph, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Wish we could get it on, cause you represent
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, girls, we're incredible. Slave girl, Leia, bikini on top. Star Wars chicks so hot, we'll melt your lightsaber. Pierce, we got lots on top. Wizards represent.
Wizards.
Now,